Ladies and gentlemen, thank you so much for joining us for tonight's Comic Book Club! And now, here are your hosts, Pete LePage, Justin Tyler, and Alex Selman!
Hey, what's up, everybody? Welcome to Comic Book Club. I'm Alex.
I'm Justin.
I am Pete.
And that's our man in the booth, And guys, we have a crazy show for you today.
Tons
of stuff that we got to talk about. Well, tons of stuff we got to do. We don't even have time for a regular format.
Oh, there's
the show.
No time to do all that regular stuff.
We don't even have time
for
bits.
Special. We barely have time to talk.
We have a really extra special show for you. It's unfortunate a little bit because we have some background info about Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D.
Huge
is going to be on ABC.
ABC
we can tell you. So if you guys want to know some of the secrets. Wait, no, no, no. We don't have time.
No time for one. Oh, wow. That could have been huge. That could have been a huge moment.
And we can't talk about. Oh, I saw Star Trek.
You saw Star Trek.
You saw Star Trek.
I saw the new Star Trek.
Oh, well, give us a quick review.
I can't tell you.
You don't have no time for that?
Okay. No time.
Pete's been reading all of Superior Spider-Man. He's going to tell us how much he loved it.
Oh man. I'd love to be able to get into that.
We don't have time.
And we don't have time to talk about Pete's new haircut.
Oh, we do have time. We do have. We do have time to talk about that. It's playing well with the people.
I got a haircut. Yeah!
All right. I feel like we covered something.
That's we covered really important things.
Our new section of the show called Pete's Got a Haircut. Once every 3 months.
Guys, I'm also very excited about the guests that we have on the show tonight. They're the creators, the evil masterminds behind Code Monkey Save World. Ladies and gentlemen, Greg Pak and Jonathan Colton!
Yeah! Please, welcome, welcome, yeah.
Mind the cords.
Yes.
Awesome.
Yeah. I mean, that said, if you guys died right now here on stage live.
Wait a minute.
What a way to go.
Why would you say a thing like that?
Well, if you died.
It could happen.
Oh, if. Oh, I misunderstood.
We play with all the possibilities here.
Yeah, we like to play the angles.
Sure.
So, guys, talk about your project. I think a lot of the people here in the live audience probably know about Code Monkey Save World. Give us the background, though, for those listening at home.
Well, Jonathan and I went to college together, actually, back in the day. Yeah, isn't that nice?
Nice.
So I was a fan before all of you.
Oh, wow.
You probably haven't heard of him.
I think you meant to say friend. You mean to say friend?
So we'd recently been bumping into each other.
That's what I call a scoop.
This is great. We're really breaking some news.
Yeah,
and,
bumping.
And at a certain point, I bought all of his music a few years back and had been listening to the stuff again and again. And at a certain point, some things clicked in my head, and I thought, wow, a lot of these songs feature supervillains and monsters, and you could do a pretty amazing supervillain team-up story using these characters. And I tweeted that to Jonathan, and he tweeted back fairly quickly.
I said, do it.
Wow.
And then later it was done. It was that easy.
Wow. That's amazing. You are powerful.
Right? I know. That's social
Make
media.
Make that happen.
I say do it to so many things.
doesn't work out for you?
How do you do it?
Do you set up a Kickstarter project for every one of those things?
Yeah, I'm in charge of thousands of Kickstarters. Yeah. Many of
them. He has a Kickstarter called Can I Eat a Sandwich for Lunch?
Yep.
Not
a lot of contributors.
Well.
I just wanted different meats and vegetables to be contributed. And no one has the time.
I think you might be diluting your brand. I think that might be the problem.
Thank you for referencing my brand.
So he said, do it. And then what was the next actual step of the process?
Well, then I emailed him. I said, dude, I'm seriously, almost really serious about this.
And, almost really serious.
And he sent back an email saying, do it.
Yeah. And then I worked up an outline. From the beginning, I think the two songs that really jumped out as being the ones that were going to give us the spine were Skull Crusher Mountain, which is a beautiful song about a supervillain who lives on Skull Crusher Mountain, but deep in his heart he pines after a lady who does not really reciprocate his affections because he's a repulsive monster. And then the other song was Code Monkey, which is the quintessential beloved song. Anyway, we love it. But anyway, so Code Monkey is a put upon coding monkey. You know, he's who codes. And mm-hmm. he's a monkey. And
that's right there in the title.
Hence the name.
And, yeah. Yeah, hence the name. Exactly.
I don't think you've ever listened to the song.
Yeah.
but the beautiful thing is that Code Monkey, you know, deep in his heart, also longs after a woman who doesn't really have anything, any real interest in him. And it occurred to me that this, you know, this crazy little monkey, I mean, this sad little monkey and this sad supervillain had a lot in common, and it would be interesting to put them together. And a kind of a buddy story started to form around that.
Nice, great.
Well, did you ever think at any point when you were crafting these songs that they would end up as a comic book?
Yeah, obviously. Yeah. No, I didn't. The interesting thing is that, of course, I conceived of them completely, they're all these individual units, and so the idea of combining them all is not, I don't think in large scale works like that. I think in these little chunks, and so it's nice to have somebody like Greg, who is great at telling stories and weaving characters together to actually figure out a way to assemble all these different pieces and cram them into the same universe. Of course, it helps. I guess it helps that I only have a couple of ideas that I keep using over and over again.
Yay!
Mainly about girls who don't like you.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, it's yeah. There's some common thematic material. I don't know where it comes from.
All fictional. All clearly fictional.
Obviously. Yeah. But it's a very exciting thing to start thinking about it. As this larger scale work.
Cool. So at this point, you put together the outline, and then you decide to put it on Kickstarter.
I just threw it up there.
Great process.
So I put together an outline. I mean, and this started back in November. I think I sent Jonathan the first outline in December, and we just started. We were talking about it for a while, going back and forth, and. And I think from the beginning we wanted to do it as a Kickstarter. It just felt right to do it that way. But it took a lot of research and a lot of planning.
It did. I mean, the Kickstarter thing. This is the first time I've ever done a Kickstarter before, and it's amazing how hard it is to figure out what you're gonna do, what the levels are gonna be. And you should see the spreadsheet.
We should tell you if it's your first. They're all exactly as successful as this.
Well, I can't believe I didn't do it before because it's so easy to make a ton of money.
Yeah.
No, when we started out, we basically, I turned to Greg for how do you make a comic book and what does it cost? And he had a pretty good idea of what the budget for that would be. And we said, well, let's say we print. These many thousand copies, how much would we need to do that and pay everybody an appropriate rate? And that was what we asked for. And then we just sort of tried to set it up so that there would be things for people to get at all different levels and so that none of those levels hopefully screwed us on postage or fulfillment
costs.
That's
how they get you.
Well, I know.
Fucking
it's
postage.
That's right. It's sort of terrifying at this point. It is ours to ruin right now.
Yeah, I had a lot of I really appreciate the help of folks like Jamal Igel and Gail Simone who are amazing comic. Yeah, there you go.
Yeah,
these are great comics professionals who have done Kickstarters themselves. They're friends, and I peppered them with questions. Jamal in particular, I was emailing him and calling him up all the time, and they were just awesome. You know, it's never a zero sum game. You know what I mean? And none of us get anywhere without. You know, that kind of just sharing information and all that. So I'm just really, you know, appreciative to all those folks who helped us just, you know, with information just as we got this thing together. Yeah. And then all you guys, my gosh.
Well, amazing. So what tips would you have? What did you feel like you did wrong initially that you would have tweaked and fixed?
Yeah, what'd you mess up, huh?
Yeah, talk about that. What tips would you have for other people going into this?
I think we did not, we didn't have a good plan for all of the levels. I think we were missing once we had it set up and once people started getting stuff, it was like, oh, well, why didn't we add this in here and this in here and this in here? And of course you can add them later, so it's not a ruinous mistake. we added those in later, and then we expected people to sort of move to the things that they weren't able to get the first time around, but there wasn't a lot of movement afterwards. I think a lot of people just sort of pick, you know, you get one bite of the apple, and they're going to come and pick a level. And It's harder to get them to upgrade.
I'm actually doing a Kickstarter where you get one bite of an apple.
Yeah, so, how's that going?
Sorry. No takers yet. But, right. I'm trying to really get like 20 people on board and just buy one apple.
So are you charging like a dollar a bite?
Yeah, I mean, ish. I'm waiting to see how the numbers. Yeah.
So that's fine. But have you thought about, obviously, you've thought about how much the apple costs.
Yeah, definitely.
Have you thought about how much it's going to cost to ship it to each person?
And, yeah, the bites are
to
expensive.
Have the bite taken, to have it repacked and shipped again.
Yeah, we were going to send a baby capuchin monkey to every bidder. If we hit a certain amount.
Oh, I should ship my bite of the apple with your monkey.
Exactly. I mean, but
the monkey wouldn't starve to death in the mail. What a great idea.
The monkey's totally affordable, but the postage was going to kill it.
Yeah, exactly. And the postage would kill the monkey as well. Yeah.
So you guys started off with an initial $39,000 goal to make, was it a
60 page.
60 page. Yeah. 60-page book. So how long did you think it was going to take you to get there to the $39,000?
29 days.
Yeah. 29 days.
I mean, I think we were pretty confident we were going to get that level, but we didn't. I mean, we really are blown away. And that's not, I'm not lying. I found a piece of paper from our planning session, and it had, you know, 39,000 is the goal, and then a stretch goal at 49,000. And then a stretch goal at 59,000.
And below that,
that was as far as we got.
Yeah, below that, we will fail at this.
Right. Right. And we, to our surprise and delight, we blew through the goal in, what was it, 9 hours or something like that?
We got our first goal in 7 hours and 7 minutes.
Yeah.
Wow.
It was a little nuts.
And so now you guys are rich.
Nah. Nice. Right. Nice. Well,
I'm telling you, I'm waiting for the other shoe to drop. I'm waiting for the moment when we, like, when all the money starts flowing to all the places and then it all flows out because there's one spot in the spreadsheet where I put a decimal point where I shouldn't have put a decimal point. Yeah.
Pledge $10, get a bunch of gold bars.
Yeah.
Right.
I did find an problem exactly like that about 2 weeks in.
Yeah.
And it was a little scary.
Yeah.
But, yeah, and I also made one. I almost made a disastrous mistake because I put in a level at, like, $4 or something. And it was something that was going to cost us, like, a lot of money to make. And and two lucky people got that. And then I was able to go in there and, like, put a limit on the number of people to get it. So
it's actually cheaper at this point for us to hire somebody to kill those two people. I'm just saying.
Amen.
So part of the reason
a lot
we're
of assassins here,
we mostly get assassins, so you should be good.
Good.
Part of the reason we're here, this Kickstarter is closing tomorrow morning at 9 o'clock in the morning-ish?
Yes,
something
9:18 a.m. Eastern time.
Ooh. So you are rapidly closing in. I have the Kickstarter open here. You guys currently have 8,038 backers. And as we have been sitting here talking on the show, you guys have made another $1,000 over your goal.
Wow.
Just by sitting here on college.
It just went up again. I saw it go up again.
Yeah, it just went up again. You're now up to $321,424.
Yeah. Nice. Yeah.
I'd like to mention, at least on my Kickstarter, one of the people that pledged, the first person that comes up is Jordan D. White, who's sitting right here.
Yeah, Jordan D. White.
Nice.
And he pledged $321,423. So that's pretty incredible.
Wow. Thank you, Jordan.
Thanks, Jordan.
So
amazing those other 8,038 people split like a dollar.
Well, they're saving
what
up
a bunch
for your
of
Apple
cheapskate.
Project.
Yeah. Pull up my Kickstarters aren't online. They're all just hand.
It's just manual. Tree. They're just paper Kickstarters.
It's sort of retro, yeah.
No, that's good. It's like hipster Kickstarter.
Thank you.
Artisanal Kickstarter.
Yeah, exactly.
So at this point, what are you guys? You started with the 60-page graphic novel. What are you delivering now?
Yeah, well, I mean, we wanted basically, you know, if you're going to do a Kickstarter, do it with somebody who shares. I'm being totally honest here. Who shares your fundamental values? It's like getting married. And
congratulations! Nice.
Congratulations! Yeah,
and that's why you guys are bumping.
But seriously, it's like I think we both felt like at every stage we wanted to make sure that the folks who were you know, kind of coming through with this amazing support, we're getting back as much bang for the buck as we could provide. And so we've, you know, at every stage we've bumped up the length of the book, you know, and we've added pages and added stories, and we pulled on folks like Fred Van Lente and Ryan Dunleavy, who are these amazing, yes, yeah, there you go. They're the folks behind Action Philosophers, and they're doing four pages of their great sort of comics history style treatment of some of the subjects in Jonathan's books. We've got four pages of the Joko Funnies, which are going to be newspaper style comic strips,
nice,
done by some amazing people like Adam Coford, who you may know from Laugh Out Loud Cats, and Ruben Balling, the great Ruben Balling, from Tom the Dancing Bug, and we just found out David Reese is probably going to contribute from Get Your War On. So stuff like that, you know, and Jonathan's recording a whole new acoustic album. That's one of the add-ons.
Oh yeah.
And we added a second book. I forgot about that.
Exactly. And we added a whole second book, a children's book based on Jonathan's song, The Princess Who Saved Herself, which is an amazing song. And,
nice.
So it's going to be a kid's book, and that's a whole another book, which is nuts, but
digital only. Cause come on. But it's true, like as the number has gotten bigger and bigger, it just seems indecent to not like dump as much of it as you can back into the project to make it more awesome, because it really is. I mean, it is this wonderful way of this community coming together to make a thing, and I you know, it's important to both of us that we want everybody to feel like, you know, they are also having their situation improved by the number going up. So
yeah, and also we're, we're talking seriously about ways to, we've got a lot of ideas, we think that there's more story, possibly, beyond this graphic novel with Code Monkey and these characters that we're developing, and, we're hoping to reinvest some and see what we can see. We've got our options remain open with all that. So
yeah. Something that I think we've seen with a lot of successful comic book Kickstarters in particular is seeing publishers jump in and help fulfill the rewards. Places like Image or Comixology jumps in and helps. Is that something you guys have reached out or been interested in at all, or?
Well, from the beginning, we partnered with Monkey Brain Comics.
Right.
Give them a big hand. They're awesome.
Woo!
Makes sense.
And Comixology. I'm sorry?
It said makes perfect sense.
Yeah, exactly.
Code Monkey Brain.
Because of the monkey.
Yes, exactly.
No, I just meant they're a good business model and they do a great job.
Yeah, totally.
I don't know what you're talking about.
Because we picked them because of the monkey.
Oh, yeah.
But Monkey Brain is it's a comic book distribution, a digital comics distribution company founded by
monkeys.
Comics creators, and so they're amazingly good people, and they are out there to make it easier for independent comics creators to get their stuff out to as many people as possible using, you know, this new digital distribution venue. Comixology has kind of become the default go-to place to read your digital comics online. They're amazing. They've been incredibly supportive of me personally. They put my Vision Machine book out a couple of years ago, and they're just great. So we're really happy to have the chance to work with both of them. It just felt like the right fit for the project.
Awesome. I love watching these numbers.
This
still
is
going
mesmerizing.
Up. And when I was a kid, we would watch the Jerry Lewis telethon, and I always was like, oh, man, telethons are awesome. I wish we had someone like a fireman walking out with a giant check for you guys or something.
I'm gonna sing "You'll Never Walk Alone" a little later. So.
Perfect. Oh man.
Yeah.
Really
so
takes me back.
A lot of Kickstarter at this point is also about what you do in post, how you keep in touch with fans, how you bring them in on the process. It sounds like you guys are going to be doing quite a bit of that.
Well, unless they can find where we are going to be living in Mexico, I don't think so. That's one of the things that's so daunting about this is the fact that we now have 8,000 people who are waiting for these various packages of various items that we need to make, you know, we need to source and comparison shop for and then make and then ship. It's a ton of work, and you're right. I mean, the devil is really in the details and in keeping in touch with everybody and letting everybody know what's going on, because it's going to take some time.
You may want to start like a separate postal service.
Yes, that's not a bad idea.
Sort of operation.
Monkey Express type thing?
Yeah, sure. That's a good name for
have
it.
Monkeys.
That's a trustworthy name for a company.
Maybe Federal Monkey?
Yeah, that's good. Yeah. I trust a monkey in a suit.
Sure. If he's wearing a suit, he's obviously serious.
A tailored monkey suit? That's
if
what they
if
call
you get
it.
A monkey in a t-shirt, that's, you know, it's cute, but he's probably not going to do
it. He probably
a very
works for Google or something.
Yeah, exactly.
So the one thing about like keeping in touch with folks, I mean, we don't want to overwhelm them because we've been sending out a lot of updates. If you guys are on the list, I apologize for how many updates we've been sending you. We feel they're all very important and information you'd like to know. But yeah, I mean, we don't want to drive people crazy. At the same time, one of the beautiful things about working on a genuinely independent project like this is that, you know, if we get a beautiful piece of art in, I can call up Jonathan and say, dude, should we show this off? And Jonathan could say, yes, and then we can do it.
Do it.
Yeah, you know, so.
That's what I say. That's how I answer the phone. Yeah.
Do it.
Hello? So, do it.
So I think we're going to err on the side of oversharing a little bit, you know what I mean, as we go along, just because it's felt like folks have already just been so, you know, it feels right, you know what I mean? Like, it feels like the beautiful thing about Kickstarter is that it kind of creates this little community. You know what I'm saying? And we're really grateful to that community. So we want to try to, you know, I'll provide more digital wallpapers if folks want that. Just so
you're a great burden.
So I also imagine having fulfilled the initial thing of the Kickstarter in just over 7 hours, that put a little bit a fire under you to start working on the book and get it 100% done, right? So about how far are you in right now?
That is a great question. Yeah. We would hope you would get it close to 100% done. I mean, just like 98.
I would say it is close to 100% done. Wouldn't you say that?
Yeah. In the sense that it's, yeah.
Yes. You know. Close to 100% done.
Because we're approaching about 1,000%.
Yeah. In the freelancer sense of being close to 100% done.
Oh, so you haven't started yet.
You know, creative work, a lot of work happens under the surface. You can't really see what's happening. It's like, you might have to take a walk. You might have to eat a sandwich. And then it all comes flooding out of you later.
It's all right here.
Yeah.
It's an internal process.
As a follow-up question, what's your exit strategy?
Yeah.
They said New Mexico.
Literally from this room, we mean.
Yeah.
How do you plan on getting out of here?
Well, we had a trap door installed in the back of the stage.
Cool.
A few hours before the show.
Awesome. Well, cool. So if people want to pledge in these last couple of hours...
Please don't. Stop giving us money.
It's a reverse telethon.
For the love of God.
Take some of the money away if you can.
If you can.
The numbers have started going down. I just saw that.
Oh, good. Amazing. Oh, good.
So you're good.
Thank goodness.
Guys, congratulations to them on Code Monkey Save World. Let's give them a big round of applause.
Thank you.
And now... we're going to move on to my favorite section because you guys make it up. It's your audience questions.
Yeah.
And for that, we're going to go over to Boothman. And I should mention, if you happen to be watching this on Ustream, I don't know how many people are on there right now. If you want to ask a question, here, let's turn down the music first so they can actually hear me. No, louder. Fantastic. Yeah. If you are watching on Ustream, send us in a question and we will try to get to it there. Or if you're on Twitter, you can't hear me right now.
Wow. That's
cool. So
you're really good. Stuck into those Twitter guys.
It's a real joke.
Great.
All right, a real joke. How's everyone doing? Hi.
Raise your questions. Great. That's what I want to say.
Raise my questions?
I don't know.
I'll raise them.
Let's get the first question, Boothman.
All right, the first question. Now that everyone's pumped for the S.H.I.E.L.D. TV show, do you think we'll finally get a Gotham Central show? Seriously, what is DC and Warner Brothers' problem?
I have a question. How does this relate to me in any way?
Well, you have to answer. That's
how it relates.
Well... pass.
Uh-oh. Pass, yeah.
That was
no one knows. No one knows.
I think that's a great idea. Yeah. This is like the first...
Someone get DC on the phone.
This is like the first comic book TV show of any merit where like... This was like...
What about Arrow?
I think you heard what the word I said was merit.
Or Hulk back in the day. I mean, come on, Lou Ferrigno?
No, I know, but I mean, like, this... I'm talking about first...
What about Heroes?
Let's start a riot!
No, okay, and by that I mean it has the movie creators are on this show, and they're making it. It was
oh, ABC. Oh, so if it's movie creators, it's legit.
I'm really coming under fire here.
Yeah.
no, because this is going to be... Joss Whedon is making this show. This wasn't... The Smallville was not made by people that are making Superman. So the net, it's ABC also. So much more money. This was the first show they picked up this season. It's going to be huge. And I think it's going to really open the door for a bunch of other networks to create other shows like Gotham Central, I think. And Gotham Central is like the perfect analog to S.H.I.E.L.D. in the DC universe. Because it's like Batman's world about his things, but he's not in it.
About his things.
It's
huh?
about his things.
Yeah.
Hey, guys, I think I found Batman's thing in the back.
Yeah. That's a mystery. That's an episode. Yeah.
I should be a writer for the show.
Great. I'm sure you will based on that statement.
I will say that both Jim Lee and Geoff Johns said that there are some DC announcements coming down the road. They haven't said exactly what it is. Yeah. But I think they know they need to start being aggressive about this.
Yeah, they know they need to start succeeding more often.
Well, Greg over there is doing an Greg over there is doing an awesome looking title called Superman Batman. You want to talk about that a little bit?
Yeah.
We'll be with you in a minute.
That's fine.
We're actually changing it up a little bit. It's Batman Superman.
Oh yeah.
Kind of crazy.
Top of the alphabet.
Superman is Batman's butler rather than the other way around.
So it starts in June, and it is drawn by the brilliant Jay Lee.
Gorgeous stuff.
And it's going to be awesome. We got Batman, we got Superman. What more do you want? It's going to be tremendous.
What more do you want, you monsters?
you monsters. The nice thing about it is that, this is my first DC book, and ooh. I was really excited to come on board at this particular time because it's... right, you know, it's in the early part of the New 52. The New 52, for those who may not be following, is DC took this hugely bold step of starting all their books over from number one. So it's all the characters you know and love forever, but there's a new entry point for all of them. You can pick up just with that new number one and just go. And there's some fun twists to some of the characters that provide some really fun storytelling opportunities. And in particular with Superman and Batman, we are going to tell the first meeting between Superman and Batman. That's where our story begins. So it begins at the very beginning of the New 52. And the really cool thing about it is that you've got Superman who has been established at that early stage by Grant Morrison as he wears a t-shirt and jeans and work boots, and he's kind of got this populist crusader feel to him. He's also young and cocky, and he makes mistakes and he's rash and raw, and that's just a really and. I mean, he's Superman still, so you know he's always striving to do the right thing, but he's on edge a little bit more than we might be used to seeing. And that's just a really interesting place, particularly to put him into, you know, to have him meet Batman for the first time. Because what's a young guy like this going to do the first time he sees a guy dressed up as a bat running around beating people up, you know? Kiss him, exactly.
Yeah. It's nice, there you go. Lovely.
And that's our story.
Spoiler.
First kiss.
Cool. Raise your hand if you ask that. You're going to get some free comics. Let's get the next question, please, Boothman.
If you could have any one of your songs featured in any current superhero movie, which one would it be?
Oh, boy. Nice. All right. I think me and Justin have recorded a bunch of songs.
Yeah, your musical careers.
Why have my...
What's that got to do with us?
Yeah.
I would like to see Mr. Fancy Pants worked into a Hulk movie.
Yeah!
Very nice.
Great answer.
Well
Raise your hand if you ask that. You're going to get some free comics. Let's get the next question.
Which supervillain would crash the prom and why?
Crash the prom?
The prom.
The biggest night of the
Holy
year.
Holy shit. What night is prom this year, guys? I don't even have a date yet. It's got to be coming up.
Wait, hold on. But the prom is the same night as the game. What are we going to do?
Oh, man.
That's terrible scheduling.
That is.
For
sure
one.
Is.
And I know it's a big game against state, so we really got to do well. In whatever sport the three of us play.
Skee ball.
Yeah.
Huge. The cheerleaders for skee ball are gorgeous.
Yeah. Varsity skee ball.
Super villain crashing the prom.
Skull Crusher, actually. He would totally crash the prom.
Bane, right? Bane?
Bane, yeah. Exactly.
Good job. You know one of them.
I know one.
Penguin would be well-dressed enough for it.
That's right. Well, because he's already... You think he's constantly dressed for the prom? That's what... Please take...
Just in case.
Have
Pants
you seen up. Kids today? Have you seen kids today?
With yeah. their hair?
Oh, shit.
Bane doesn't have hair.
Bane? Yeah, what? No, he's... people mentioned the penguin.
Oh, the penguin. I missed
yeah.
that.
Oh, it's all right.
Oh, because of the... Yeah, I get
yeah.
it.
Yeah.
I'm this prom's reckoning. I really thought for a long time if I could do that. And I thought I did all right. That was a decent impression.
Do you feel like it was a decent impression?
Those are Bane impressions, Jonathan. Yeah.
He brought up Bane. This corsage doesn't match my cummerbund. I'm losing the impression, I'll tell yeah, you that much. Yeah, I will yeah. tell you that much.
You're just talking like a person now.
Cummerbund?
Raise your hand if you ask that. You're going to get some free comics. Let's get the next question, please.
This is for Jonathan.
Finally.
Jonathan, hello.
Hello.
How involved are you in writing puzzles for AMA?
I don't write any puzzles for AMA. AMA is Ask Me Another, which is the NPR... new NPR quiz show that I'm part of, sort of co-host and musician, and there's a team of writers who write the puzzles. So I don't write any of them. I just read them.
Nice.
But usually I do know the answers even before I have the script because I'm pretty smart. So
you should say that on the show.
Oh, I do.
That's Ophira's show.
Ophira Eisenberg is the host, yeah, yeah. And we do it at the Bell House in Brooklyn.
Nice.
It's a weekly show. It's various stations around the country at various times. But,
yeah, it's cool.
It's a lot of fun.
Yeah.
Cool. All right. Raise your hand if you ask that. You're going to get some free comics. Pete?
Oh, she doesn't want them.
Oh, she doesn't
She's
want them.
She's just
oh, okay,
shaking off those free comics.
That's cool. Let's well, get the next question.
They're making her sick, comics, those then. Free comics.
Whoever that lady is, she's going to regret not getting those free comics.
Whoa, take it easy on the lady in the audience.
She's going to regret it.
Oh.
For those of you listening, it's Alex's wife. And this is going to be a real awkward fight later.
I really liked when Alex became Tony the Tiger. You're really going to regret it.
That's his husband's voice.
Hey, I'm real mad.
He does a great husband impression.
A husband would probably be most likely to crash a prob, I
yeah,
bet.
Yeah, Dev gets a great point. A husband to an underage high schooler.
Let's move on to the
Let's
next question.
To the next question.
Okay. Which comic book character do you wish existed in real life? This question's kind of sad.
Oh, that's nice.
No, it's nice?
That's a dreamer. It's yeah. a real dreamer.
A dreamer,
question.
Meaning this could happen?
Sure. Yeah, haven't sure. you ever seen Last Action Hero?
Oh, yeah. That was nice. A documentary,
yeah, all
right?
That is one of those magic tickets, and we're set.
Yeah. Great. I'm always looking for that magic
because
ticket.
That's real.
Pete, what do you say? Which hero do you want to be real? Well, keep in mind, many of the heroes you're a fan of are murderers.
Well, that's the great thing. You know, okay. If they were real, they could really make a difference in this world.
Through murder.
Yep.
Okay.
You write
Choose
things the way
poison.
You...
Choose your poison.
I don't know. I mean, how crazy would it be if you saw, like, Hulk, you know, do some real damage? That would be unbelievable.
If you saw
it. You're like, yeah, oh, my God, right. He's really crushing a building.
Would you be looking and laughing at that point?
Yeah. Yes. Yes, I would. Man, that dude, run for my life.
That dude is doing some real damage.
Yeah. He's really angry.
But I don't know. Like, it's hard because I can't imagine, like, if you saw a building fall down, you'd be like... Was that the Hulk? Could be.
Yeah.
Is that your first jump whenever you see something weird happen in New York?
Yeah.
You're like, probably Spider-Man is about.
Yep. Well, don't bring up Spider-Man, because if he was real, he'd be fucking pissed. Well, he'd also be dead, and then a bad guy would be doing stuff, and it would be really weird.
Well, I'm glad you made it about that.
Did you have an answer?
Oh, hero I'd like to be real? Well, always Silver Sable, if possible.
Oh, come on.
So that I could finally have a date to the prom.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Can I just go with Cypher then? Are we okay with that?
Well, you're living his life.
Yeah, so, pretty much. Yeah. What?
Because you are his Cypher in a way.
Because I can read?
Yeah.
If and Aquaman was real, that would be better, right?
Yeah, that would be better.
That implies...
We could really talk to the
that
animals.
That would be better be than like, your answer.
Be like, how does this, you know, giant... Whale feel about working at SeaWorld? Does he really like it, or is he really pissed off?
I don't think we need Aquaman to know how the whale feels.
No, I think that means you're Aquaman in a way.
I do talk to sea creatures.
Oh, wow.
Well, that's half the battle, really.
Greg, what about you?
There's a lot that I think we're very, you know, we don't really need running around in real life. Okay. It's a little dangerous, frankly. I'm a very careful person.
You clearly.
I write a lot of non-careful people because...
Hercules.
Yeah, Hercules, actually, that's excellent, yeah.
He'd be
especially
fun,
living
right?
in Brooklyn?
No, you know what? You know what? Yeah, Hercules is awesome, but he's very dangerous. He's incorrigible, is what he is.
Oh. He's a rapscallion.
Yeah, yeah. Exactly.
Amadeus
Cho,
he's a scamp.
Rogue. He's a scamp.
Yeah, he's a cad.
I would pick the Micronauts.
Ooh. Oh, interesting.
Because the worst they could do is give, like, a tiny little cut on your knee.
Well, a Croyer could probably cut your leg off. He's really strong.
And you want them to do just be able to do tiny stuff.
Yeah, no, because they're awesome. Because I love the Micronauts. That's why. I don't have any better reason than that. But.
We'll get them to turn the lights back
just
on.
Cut some wires.
Yeah.
There we go.
The Micronauts hate you, unfortunately.
Great. Raise your hand if you ask that. You're going to get some free comics.
Oh, Aquaman. Aquaman is your default.
No. I was going to say I would choose the lead singer from the band A-ha. Anybody grow up in the 80s?
Yeah. We've certainly seen the video.
Great. Boothman, let's get a couple more questions.
Okay. If Mr. Fancy Pants did not have fancy pants, what would he do with his life?
Wow.
Wow.
Well, that's the question that's at the heart of the song. At the end of the song, his title of Mr. Fancy Pants has been stripped away from him, and that is why it is so tragic and strange, is that you have spent a lot of time and energy defeating him, and when you defeat him, you basically take away the title that is his very name and is the very thing that gives his life meaning. So I don't know why you are such a jerk about that. It's unclear what happens to Mr. Fancy Pants. Perhaps we will find out in Code Monkey Save World.
Oh, nice.
Ooh, there
nice.
We go.
Very cool.
Let's get the next question, please, Boothman.
Okay.
Boothman.
Boothman.
All right, guys.
Do you feel like you're in charge?
Yeah. I think that was Bane again. Was that Bane again?
Yeah, it was Bane again.
Oh,
yeah.
Can you do a Bane husband voice?
I don't remember what the husband said.
Okay. He was like,
we're gonna feel like we're in charge.
Yeah. Well, I buy comics.
All right. Anyways, what if God was one of us, just a slob like one of us? What comics would he read?
Probably
great
all of
Joan
them.
Osborne,
like a Stranger on the Bus.
Yeah. Well, that's where people read comics. Yeah.
What comics would God read? That's what it's about.
Yeah.
He'd read Ruben Bolling's God Man, probably.
Yeah, probably.
Nice.
Would be like, which it's is true. Yeah. Really, very true.
Finally, I'm featured in something. So sick of rereading the Bible.
Let's get the next question.
All right. This question says. Lying.
Yes.
Lying?
And then ellipsis.
Lying or lying?
Is there a question mark after it? Because
no.
It might not be a question.
I think that's a question.
It's more of a lying.
Is that L-I-O-N?
Maybe. Maybe I'm lying.
Oh, you know what this is? Justin, Pete, and I, when we've been going to high school, there's been some mysterious person who's been tormenting us with a secret that we all have. That's from them.
Did you go to high school together?
Well, we're going to prom together.
Yeah. Well, none of us could find a date, so we all went together.
We're going to have a weird circle dance.
Yep. And on no the slow one's going to lead.
Great. Oh, we have a question from...
We've got a few questions from online, too.
Great. Oh, let's do it. It's
all
just
right.
The same as being here.
This is
no,
for...
It's not.
Please be quiet. This is for Mr. Pock and Mr. Colton.
Ooh.
Is Mr. Fancy Pants going to be available for digital Kickstarter supporters or only trades?
You know, we were sorting that out, and I believe the answer is going to be that it will be both digital and in both digitally and in the trade. With some of the extras, we've been trying to figure out if they will be both in the trade and the digital. They're all definitely going to be in the printed trade. Almost certainly, they'll all also be in the digital books as well. We're almost certain on that. With the Mr. Fancy Pants, I'm almost positive that they, if, assuming we hit that stretch.
If not, just send me an email and I'll scan it and send it to you.
Wow.
That's nice.
That's cool. Very nice.
That's fan service.
More usual questions?
Yeah.
Let's see. There was something about The Rock, and I know we need to ask that question.
That seems apropos.
Yeah, we definitely do, yeah.
Definitely.
Right. So in just in general, The Rock as a comic book character, who is he? Who would he be best suited, et cetera?
He, on Halloween, tweeted a picture of him as the Hulk that was scary. Yeah, I mean, just...
Because he was so good?
He was so good. He had just painted himself green. He was like, I'm the Hulk.
That's how he spends his time.
There you go.
In between movies.
But I think he's been rumored to be Black Adam, Shazam's adversary for a really long time.
That makes perfect
and
sense.
And he's pretty much perfect for that.
Yeah, he could pull off Namor.
Yeah.
Oh, nice.
You don't think he's too big? I feel like we need somebody with a swimmer's
big.
Body. Right?
I think all these guys, you know, they're drawn in different ways. Get, you know, so I think he could. Yeah, he's got the head. He's got the dome.
Isn't Namor a little bit bigger than regular people though? Most
yeah,
of the time?
Well, he's half Atlantean and half human mutant, so yes.
Yeah, and he's underwater, so he's always very bloated.
Yeah, exactly.
I don't think you know how that works.
Alex has never been swimming.
Yeah.
Doesn't touch this stuff.
Scary.
Disgusting.
He's like, I don't like to go in water. It makes me fat.
Water weight.
No, that's not. Yeah. That's nothing.
All right. Booth
things
man,
are actually lighter in the water.
Will, great, thanks, physics teacher.
maybe
will Joe?
Actually, they still weigh the same. It's buoyancy.
Oh! Whoa!
What if they're girls?
What does that mean?
Who?
Buoyancy.
Oh.
All right. Can we do another question?
Yes.
No. We got some more puns we want to circulate.
Will Joko be at San Diego Comic-Con?
I don't know. I've never been to San Diego Comic-Con.
You got to go.
I've never had a comic book before. maybe. I don't know. We'll see.
The timing
is perfect.
Come
on, do it.
Well,
all right.
Yeah!
We'll see. I got to check my schedule.
It just takes a little hassling, guys. You can just make anything happen. Great. It's good. Weather's great.
Yeah, sure. That's
fantastic.
Why it's why people go.
Cool. Yeah, exactly.
I'm going to interrupt with a quick Twitter question.
Oh boy! Shit.
So this is from Tanner. It's Robin S97. I hope you accept like this, but whatever.
What?
If you have to cancel a DC title right now, what is it?
Oh wow!
If you had to cancel a DC title?
Yeah, if you had to cancel a DC title.
I don't cancel books. No. I keep them all going. That's
forever.
That's exactly. Oh, no. I'm a writer. I'm a writer. I don't want to cancel books. I think about the writers, man.
Yeah.
What if they had to pre-cancel Batman Superman, but every other title is saved, or you can save just Batman Superman?
Jeez, why would you?
What are you doing?
Why would you say that?
Why would you do that to him?
Because this is the whole point of the show. I've been leading.
What?
Well, what if they had to cancel one of the three of us?
Yeah. I mean, either you or Pete, whichever.
Whichever.
I don't know.
Wow.
Didn't even get the question.
Wow, yeah.
Didn't even get the question.
He didn't even. Yeah,
I'm thinking about the show. We could keep it going with two of us.
Nope. Like all shows, it needs three hosts.
Greg and I would do it.
Oh, yeah.
We'd step in.
Well, you can make a clean sweep here.
There we go.
Just shift it over this way. We'll be the guests.
Yeah.
I have nothing to say.
What about you guys? Is there anything you'd cancel?
DC title to cancel?
Constantine?
But that's out of a weird vendetta you have.
Well, I just feel like
have you even
you should have kept
Have
Vertigo.
You read it, though?
No.
Oh, well, then that makes it a weird choice.
Yep.
Do you think, just to make this more positive, is there a canceled title that should come back?
Hellblazer, yeah. For one, for sure. Right on Pete's point. I don't know. I mean, I feel like it's more about creators keep shifting, I feel like, in the DC universe, and that has been sort of... frustrating because you get a run you like and then all of a sudden it's shifted and I feel like they have further plans down the road, but everything's moving so quickly there. I feel like it's hard to figure out what the next thing is.
Sure.
Like Batwoman just shifted and I really like that.
Yeah, I wish they would bring back the team that was working on Blue Beetle that we loved so much.
Well, back in the day.
Yeah.
John Roberts and Raphael Albuquerque.
Yep.
Great.
There you go.
Nice.
Let's get the next question. You have anything from Ustream?
Oh, I was just looking at porn. What?
You have any questions for
porn? No, it's actually kind of it's kind of cute. I was like, hey guys, any more questions? They're all like, do you have? I don't have anything, and they got all kind of weirded out.
Oh, they're nervous.
They tried.
Great. Yeah. Do we have any more questions, general, or are we all good?
Well, we're not, like, all good because I'm about to leave this section because it's my section. But I would like to say one of the users' username is a deer ham.
Oh. That's true. That's a great point.
That's actually from the porn you're watching.
Yeah.
It's really great.
Great one. Could you send me the link?
Cool. All right. That's it for your audience questions. Thank you, Booth Man. All right, guys. We are going to set it up for a very special performance from Mr. Jonathan Colton. So if you want to start getting up for that.
Yes. Yeah.
Before we do, a couple of quick things. Just wanted to mention the Code Monkey Kickstarter is up to $322,602.
Wow.
Nope, $322,752.
It keeps changing.
Nope, $3. That's too bad. But congratulations to those guys. Definitely check out Code Monkey Save World in the couple of hours that it's left and all the other awesome stuff. Jonathan, where should people check out your stuff?
They can visit me at jonathancolton.com. Or I'm Jonathan Colton on Twitter. My name is Jonathan Colton.
And Greg, you're at, is it packbuzz.com still?
Just gregpock.com. I made it easy.
Gregpock.com. Definitely check that out. A couple of things from us before we leave the stage. Next week on the show, still totally free, we're going to have writer Charles Sewell is going to be back on the show talking about his new run on DC's Swamp Thing, which they should not cancel. Yeah. And also Henry Zebrowski from the Adult Swim show, Your Pretty Face Is Going to Hell, is going to be here. So
great
that should
dudes.
Be a lot
That's
of fun.
That's going to be a very fun show.
Yeah. Also, Pete, anything you want to plug?
Yeah, friend us on Facebook so you get to hear about all the amazing guests we have on the show and check out the Big City Dare to Draw.
Follow us on Twitter at Comic Book Live.
Yep, check us out at comicbookclublive.com, nerdist.com for the podcasts and more. And also, before Jonathan plays, a couple of people to thank. Let's give Greg and Jonathan a big round of applause.
Yeah!
Boothman!
Boothman!
Everybody here at Fontana's.
Thank you!
All right, and now, over to Mr. Jonathan Colton!
Does anybody know how to play the guitar?
A little.
Let's start with this one. This is a song. This is a song about the future, or rather, a future that you might imagine if you were, let's just say, a 13-year-old boy living sometime in the 1980s, and you were all alone in your room reading Omni magazine. Last week I left a note on Laura's desk. It said, I love you, signed anonymous friend. Turns out she's smarter than I thought she was. She knows I wrote it now, the whole class does too. And I'm all alone during couple skate. When she skates by with some guy on her arm, but I know that I'll forget pity in her face. Living in my solar dome on a platform in space, 'cause it's gonna be the future soon. I won't always be this way. When the things that make me weak and strange get engineered away, it's gonna be the future soon. I've never seen it quite so clear. When my heart is breaking, I can close my eyes and it's already probably be some kind of scientist, building inventions in my space lab in space. I'll end world hunger, I'll make dolphins speak. Work through the daytime, spend my nights and weekends perfecting my warrior robot race. Building them one laser gun at a time. I will do my best. Teach them about life and what it's worth. Just hope that I can keep them from destroying the earth. 'Cause it's gonna be the future soon, and I won't always be this way. When the things that make me weak and strange get engineered away, it's gonna be the future soon. I've never seen it quite so clear. When my heart is breaking, I can close my eyes. It's already here.
that piece by piece replace myself. And steel and circuits will make me whole. But I still feel so alone until Laura calls me home. I see her standing by the monorail. She looked the same except for bionic eyes. She lost the real ones in the robot wars. I'll say I'm sorry, she'll say it's not your fault. Or is it? She'll eye me suspiciously. Hearing the whir of the servos inside, she'll scream and try to run, but there's nowhere she can hide. When a crazy cyborg wants to make you his robot bride, well, it's gotta be the future soon. And I won't always be this way. When the things that make me weak and strange get engineered away, it's gotta be the future soon. I've never seen it quite so clear. When my heart is breaking, I can close my eyes. It's already.
Thank you. What does anybody have a request?
Princess
Save
Yourself.
Whoa. Oh, wow.
Whoa. That was quick.
Princess Who Saved Herself. Interesting, interesting. I don't know what to do in the spoken word section. What am I going to do in the spoken word section?
Say whatever you want.
There are very specific words that need to be spoken.
It sounds boring.
It is pretty boring. It lasts about 45 minutes. A lot of talking in the middle of that song. You know what? I'll figure it out when I get there. This is called The Princess Who Saved Herself, not necessarily for marriage. Just kidding about that last part. I have a daughter, for God's sake.
Was a castle by a waterfall with a pink and purple wall and a princess living there. She had no parents and was all alone. She got by on her own and she liked it pretty well. But she never wore socks. She had a pet snake. She bought a red guitar and she ate a whole cake. And there wasn't anybody there to tell her what to do. Do.
I shouldn't have done this one.
So she did what she wanted to. Everybody knew the story of the princess who saved herself. Was a dragon with a pointy tail. He was bigger than a whale and his breath was terrible. He scared the princess when he came around. Tried to burn the castle down till she caught him by his tail. Then she tied him to a tree so the dragon couldn't fly. She told him he was mean and it made the dragon cry. When he finally apologized, she offered him some tea. He accepted it graciously. Now he visits every weekend at the princess who saved herself.
Now there's this whole spoken word section here. It's actually a little skit where the prince keeps trying to call the princess to ask her out on a date, and she keeps saying no. And it's pretty funny.
There was a witch who was an evil queen. She was wrinkled, old, and green, and she hated everyone. Saw the princess in her silver gown, put the poison apple down, asked her where she bought her clothes. So they got the witch a dress, put some makeup on her face. They started up a band and the dragon played the bass. Every Saturday they play until their fingertips are sore, mostly math, rock, and cuddlecore. And they call themselves the kingdom of the princess who saved herself. The princess who saved herself.
Thank you.
Yay.
Well, by gum, we got there, didn't we? What other difficult song that I don't really know?
I actually, there's one from the Ustream.
Oh, yeah. What do they say?
Blue Sunny Day.
Oh, Jeepers Creepers.
Jeepers Creepers, huh?
I don't know. I can't.
Would it be another bad idea? Well, how about Old Lobster?
The songs I haven't played in 5 years.
I was just like, hey, guys, let's annoy Jonathan. And they're like telling me these song names.
Rick Springfield.
What about Feed the World?
Skull Crusher Mountain. That's it. What? Feed the World.
That's what. I'm just reading what the internet's telling me, buddy. It's a bad idea.
It's Christmas time. There's no need to be afraid. This Christmas time, we let in light and we banish hate. But in our world of plenty, we can spare a smile of joy. Spread your arms around the world, Christmas time. But say your prayer, pray for the other one. This Christmas time, it's hard to fight when you're having fun. Oh, there's a world outside your window, and it's a world up in the air. Where the only one up for him is the bitter sting of tears, and the Christmas bells that ring there are the clanging chimes of doom.
That's all I know. I'm not going to. I'm actually amazed I know that much of it.
All right.
I apologize to all of the people in Africa on behalf of the UK. All right. This is a love song. Welcome to my secret lair on Skullcrusher Mountain. Hope that you've enjoyed your stay so far. I see you've met my assistant Scarface. His appearance is quite disturbing. I assure you he's harmless enough. He's a sweetheart, calls me master. And he has a way of finding pretty things. Made this half-pony, half-monkey monster to please you. But I get the feeling that you don't like it. What's with all the screaming? You like monkeys, you like ponies. Maybe you don't like monsters so much. Maybe I used too many monkeys. Isn't it enough to know that I ruined a pony? Making a gift. Picture the two of us alone inside my golden submarine. While up above the waves, my doomsday squad ignites the atmosphere. And all the fools who lead their foolish lives may find it quite explosive. Well, it won't mean half as much to me if I don't have you here. You know it isn't easy living here on Skullcrusher Mountain. Maybe you could cut me just a little slack. Would it kill you to be civil? I've been patient, I've been gracious, and this mountain is covered with wolves. Hear them howling, my hungry children. Maybe you should stay and have another drink. Think about me and you. Oh, and I'm so into you, but I'm way too smart for you. Even my henchmen think I'm crazy. I'm not surprised that you'd agree. If you could find some way to be a little bit less afraid of me. See the voices that control me from inside my head. Say I shouldn't kill you, yeah. I shouldn't kill you, yeah. I shouldn't kill you.
Thank you. Do one more. We have time for one more?
Yeah.
Yeah. It seems appropriate to do this song. This is. It is true that I used to write software for a living before I did this for a living, and this is a better job.
I don't believe you.
I mean, for me, maybe not for everybody. And this is a fantastic delay happening over there in that echo. Oh, wow, now it's totally
That's what
wrong.
You get. That's what you get.
This is called Code Monkey.
Code Monkey, get up, get coffee. And Code Monkey, go to job. Code Monkey, have boring meeting with boring manager out. Rob say Code Monkey very diligent, but his output stink. His code not functional or elegant. What do Code Monkey think? Code Monkey think maybe manager wanna write goddamn login page himself. Code Monkey not safe. Out loud, Code Monkey not crazy. Just proud and Code Monkey like Frito. Code Monkey like Tab and Mountain Dew. And Code Monkey, very simple man. With big, warm, fuzzy, secret heart. And Code Monkey like you. And Code Monkey, hang around at front desk until your sweater look nice. And Code Monkey, offer buy you soda. Bring you cup, bring you ice. You say no thank you for the soda, cause soda make you fat. Anyway, you busy with the telephone, no time for a chat. Code Monkey, have long walk back to cubicle. Sit down, pretend to work. Code Monkey, not thinking so straight. Code Monkey, not feeling so great. And Code Monkey like Frito. And Code Monkey like Tab and Mountain Dew. And Code Monkey, very simple man. With big, warm, fuzzy, secret heart. Code Monkey like you. Just keep on working. See- see your soft pretty face. My traveler, wake up, eat a coffee cake, take bath, take nap. This job fulfilling in creative ways, such a load of crap. Cool monkeys say someday have everything, even pretty girl like you. Code monkey just waiting for now. Code monkey says someday, somehow. And code monkey like Fido. Code monkey like Tab and Mountain Dew. Code monkey, very simple man. Big, warm, fuzzy, secret heart. Code monkey like you. Code monkey like you.
Thanks a lot, everybody. Thank you.
Jonathan Colton! Thank you so much, everybody. This has been Comic Book Club. Good night!